Live and local, this is Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. With over 200 combined years of sports coverage in Acadiana, this is a gathering unlike any other.
Well, every week this show looks better to me.
Every week your eyesight gets worse.
This is Five Guys Stories and Lies. Here's your host, Don Allen.
Welcome, everybody. We have been on suspension for a month. Let me tell you why. Actually, the FCC caught us on the wiretap. We were trying to improperly induce another radio personality to leave their home and join us. They didn't like that. Actually, our management didn't like it here either, neither the program director nor the general manager. And instead of firing us, which they had every right to do, but they have no cojones, so they didn't do that.
It's because we refused to meet with them.
That's correct. We
Well, y'all started early, man. Goodness gracious.
We
hadn't even introduced ourselves, y'all jumping on.
We were suspended for a month. And like Tom said, they did ask us to meet with them, and we said, nah, we're not going to do that.
Then we met at lunch yesterday.
Yeah, we did finally get together with them at lunch.
Yeah.
And we were reinstated.
No, sort of. We were sort of reinstated.
Yeah.
It depends. The FCC hearing comes up in a couple of weeks. And so we'll see how that goes. But ironically, the station here found a very unique solution to all of that. Instead of firing us, they fired the program director. How do you allow your basketball coach to be caught on a wiretap with what are called strong-ass inducement offers to survive? And, oh, wait, we've got a solution to that. Let's fire the athletic director, which is exactly what LSU has done.
You got a lot of people out there that are supporting that move to fire Aliva.
They're supporting it because they don't like Aliva and they want Aliva gone.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But, you know, I mean, look, you got diehards out there that
have no sense.
That nobody can do any wrong. And that if they do wrong, it's whoever doesn't defend them is doing wrong. And Aliva got caught in that trap. You know, we're talking about the explanation, and I wrote this down because in the statement, when they announced the reinstatement, Coach Wade's explanation and clarifications offered during the meeting, absent actual evidence of misconduct, satisfies contractual obligation to LSU.
That comes from the president, right?
That comes from Aliva, but that's not a big endorsement.
No,
of
it's not.
You're hard for the long term. It's given the current facts. You met. You told us your side of the story. That's what the contract calls for. We have to reinstate you. It's all legalese stuff.
He could have told that side of the statement 30 days ago,
absolutely.
A month and a half ago.
He very well could have. And all he said was that I did not do any of these things. I am totally innocent. I have not broken any rules, you know, in so many words. I mean, that's what they said in the article, that, you know, he just more or less, you know, said, I'm okay. I haven't done anything wrong. And so they have to take his word for it, absence of any evidence.
There are so many words on that FBI wiretap, too, and presumably on April 22nd, we'll find out a little bit more about that. So, you know, I was thinking about it the other night. If I didn't come up with this other scenario, I didn't come up with this one. Maybe he was in the middle of a sting operation by the FBI.
I've heard that before.
Have you really?
Oh, he was an FBI informant.
Yeah, he was an FBI informant.
Yeah, so why do you make that up? The statement got me was, you know, whoever they were talking about get more money than what, a second-round draft pick or something like that?
More money than the rookie minimum.
Rookie minimum, that's what it was, rookie minimum.
That was for Smart.
Now, yeah. Yeah, the big problem, and I read, I don't know, it was somebody, one of the big national writers wrote, the problem with all of this stuff in college basketball is all this stuff is cash. It's hard to catch anybody cheating. It's just like, you know, I was in the insurance business, and they used to tell us, Hey, short of catching somebody with a match in their hand to light a fire, it's almost impossible to prove arson. All right? So same thing in college basketball. Unless you can actually get that see somebody giving somebody cash, it's almost impossible to prove that. And yeah. In today's legal world, let me tell you something. A lot of people get off of a lot of stuff because of the way the legal system is set up today, just like Tom said, with all those billboards all along the highway. This is the way the law is.
Yeah, but what it boils down to for me, I don't really care what he did or how he did it or whether he's guilty or whether he's not. The thing that disappointed me was that he was called – he is a contracted employee. He was called to a meeting of his superiors and refused to go. Now, if I'd have done that at my office, they'd have went like, either come to the meeting or see ya, okay? No, they just suspended him and let it all settle, let it all fall away, and now they're, Thomas, putting him back in.
It's the world we live in.
Reinstating,
right?
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
It's the world we live in.
Glenn,
everything.
It's embarrassing.
Well, welcome to the world.
No, this is embarrassing for Louisiana.
Jeez.
This is embarrassing for LSU. This is embarrassing.
No, it won't be embarrassing to them unless they actually can, the NCAA can come up with something. If they can't, Will Wade stays the head coach and we move merrily along.
If they
but
even
I
try.
I want to see what kid, because if I'm a parent sitting out there with a 4 or 5 star, he ain't signing with the Tigers.
Yeah, but if they even try or if they're even interested in trying, because this was an FBI investigation. The NCAA wasn't even involved in it.
Yeah, but the defenders will say it's all Yahoo's fault.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's the media's fault. Right.
Absolutely. I heard it today.
I got that.
I heard it today. Mm-hmm. It's Yahoo's fault for leaking that information. They shouldn't have leaked the information. So, it's kind of like Hillary stuff. You should never know about the smashed drives and the.
You're bringing up politics?
It's a good comparison.
Sounded to me like they were all in collusion.
Might very well have been. It won't be the first time in this country, that's for sure.
You're right.
Absolutely right. No, that's what we're saying, man. The way the law is set up today, man, it's hard to prove stuff. How many times did Capone get off on legalities? How many times did the Teflon Don get off on legalities?
Well, as I recall.
But they were smart enough not to get themselves caught in a trap like that.
Yeah,
they didn't get on the telephone and say, I offered him a deal that would be above the rookie minimum.
as I recall, the only thing that Al Capone went to prison for was
tax evasion. Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. So, between that and taxes, if you got the right people representing you, dude, you can do almost anything.
There is karma, though. It wasn't prison that killed Al Capone. It was, gonorrhea?
Yeah, something like that.
Syphilis.
There is karma.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And
there's going to be karma in this as well. We just don't know what it is.
Jimmy Carter had a great book title a long time ago. It's Always a Reckoning. And, I've always carried that line in my head, and it's just like it's analogous to what people say, what goes around comes around.
Well, you know what? And who was the first guy we heard in South Louisiana say that? I can remember as clear as day, Dion Rainey said that. It might have been after the Florida game. No, it wasn't the Florida game. It was another game. And we all standing there taking notes, and Dion says, yeah, what goes around comes around. And we all looked at each other like,
First time you've heard
Louisiana.
That?
I never heard that in my life.
Really?
No, nobody around me had ever heard it either. We hadn't had to explain it. Yeah, but being as sophisticated as you probably heard that. But that's street stuff, so I don't know how you heard it.
Because I hung around the basketball players a lot.
Oh, okay.
This is Five Guys, Stories and Lies. Bruce Brown isn't with us tonight. He is covering a district.
5-4-A.
5-4-A track meet.
Yeah, and you know what?
In Brobridge.
He just texts me an urgent message. Hold on. He says.
Somebody won the shot put?
Yeah. Close. You're close. UL signee Trajan Jones just anchored Karen Crow to a 125.57 win and a 4x200 at the 4-4A meet in Westgate. The Bears own a 125 as number five in the United States.
That's a fast time.
It's pretty spiffy then.
Yeah,
in the top five in the country.
Oh, man.
125?
125.
Wow. That's fast.
All the years I covered, I don't know if I saw 125.
Probably not. If this is the fifth highest in the country this year. I can kind of vaguely remember back in high school where 128 was considered burning.
Absolutely. Well, the thing I remember, it's funny how we drift from subject to subject. Sorry, guys.
That's why they love us.
Yeah, well. No, but I don't know if any of you guys remember when Orlando McDaniel and those guys were running for Lake Charles High School and setting all these national records. You know, they were running a 4x100 like the sub-310s in high school. Buddy, that's flying. You know, they were running like 308s or something like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, just incredible. Just incredible. Orlando McDaniel and Ephraim Davis, was that his name? They had a hurdler that was world class.
I remember Ephraim Davis, but I don't know if he was at Lake Charles High or not.
Whoever it was, I mean, he was up there almost in the Milburn class, you know, with you guys and Opelousas. And I was in high school then, and we were up there. Ain't no way that guy's running those kind of times. Oh, yeah, he did. Oh, yeah.
I saw another post online that Peter LeBlanc from Catholic High, New Iberia, he won the 300-meter hurdles. In 42, and it might have been 42.3, 42.4. He won by like 30 yards. I mean, he just like ran away from everybody. I don't know if it was a district meet or whatever. It was posted like last night, night before.
That's not a great a time, though, Tom.
For the hurdles? 300-meter hurdles.
What was it? Yeah. Well, what was the kid from North Vermillion? Y'all remember that kid from North Vermillion? Nugent. The Nugent kid? Mm-hmm. He ran like a 38.
Is that Phil Nugent?
37. Huh? He wound up running at LSU and wound up in the NCAA meet every year. That kid was unbelievably fast. That was in 2006. So somebody out there remembers that.
That was Ted Nugent. Oh, that was the NBA.
No, you're talking about the guy with the guns, man, and the guns in the big conservative mouth. That's who you're talking about. You want to give out a number so we get somebody to call back, give us some feedback?
Waiting for one of y'all to shut up long enough to be able to do this.
Well, we got three weeks of stories built up in us,
Bruce,
man.
Bruce, thank you so much for texting in about track and field.
I know, kind of disrupted the rhythm, didn't it? Oh, well, are we good for that?
That's an important topic, man.
This is Five Guys Stories and Lies with Bobby Ardwin, Tom Brown, Glenn Quibido. I'm Don Allen again. Bruce Brown's not with us tonight. I think he'll be back next week, won't he?
Yeah. He has just the regionals this week.
And Don, if you're real nice tonight, not too grumpy, not too sardonic, I have a surprise that I brought to you for you, especially from Houston.
That's not going to happen.
Yes.
337.
Well, put it up.
7060111. That's your phone number here at the Ardco Equipment Equipment Hotline. Where's my mind?
I don't know, but it's not here.
We promise not to hang up on you. We'd love to hear from you. We'll be back.
All right.
Now, back to Five Guys Stories and Lies on 103.7 The Game. You can't.
Five Guys, Stories and Lies. We are just thrilled to be back with you, believe me, on a Wednesday. It's been that suspension just seemed like it went on forever.
I was getting really bored on Wednesday nights.
Why, no
nothing
softball?
Nothing to do.
No softball?
No softball, man. Everything's on the weekend, rested away.
I did not ask. You said they went to Nichols State Monday?
That was Notre Dame.
No, that was Notre Dame.
Never mind. Notre Dame played John Curtis.
You opened that door.
Notre Dame played John Curtis in a practice game because they both had first-round buys. So they played at Nichols State.
Okay.
That was a fun trip.
Okay, we're talking about high school softball practice games.
We like shooting buckshot. We scatter everywhere. You never know what we're going to talk about.
Bobby, you missed this question. Everybody else answered it. Got some really good answers. If you could think back to when you were a kid. All right, 7, 8, 9 years old, something like that.
Oh, yeah.
What did you want to be when you grew up?
Hell if I know. I don't.
You don't remember that?
No, I had no ambition. Really. Really.
That's an honest answer.
I didn't want to be, you know, a baseball player. I didn't want to be a fireman. I didn't want to be a cop. I certainly didn't want to do what my father did, because I watched him come home every night and he'd fall asleep at 8 o'clock. It's like, hell no, I ain't doing this.
Well, you never told us what your father did.
He was a Gulf Oil bulk plant salesman, and he did that for 37 years, and, you know, he worked hard. And when I was old enough, I worked alongside of him, you know, hauling drums and cases of oil and stuff.
And that, further reiterated the idea you did not want to do that.
No.
No. You wanted to go be a teacher.
No.
You mean to tell me you did not grow up in the back of your mind wanting to be a St. Landry Parish school board and police jury meeting reporter?
No.
Some of the answers yesterday were interesting. Ray Parch Jr., or Ray Parch III, joined us. That would be RP3 to many of you who know him as such. He's tight with Glenn, so Glenn calls you R.
No, I didn't say that, Raymond. Ask him, man. Well, you're about worthless. You know that?
I don't know him quite as well, so.
Well, I don't call him Orr.
So as far as I'm concerned, he's three. I could go with Mr.
Raymond, you can fire him. I wouldn't
Mr. Three.
Mr. Three. That would be Mr. Three.
Yeah. We call him Mr. Three because we don't know him.
Okay,
as well.
We got a phone call. Thank God.
Dave, no, I don't want to take that yet. Dave, R came up with he wanted to be a right fielder for the Atlanta Braves, and Bruce Brown had the winning answer. He wanted to be John Wayne in the Alamo. Think about this, Bobby.
Yeah.
All right, now we got a caller.
Yeah, we got the Antagonator.
The Antagonator.
Yeah, he's one of our regular callers.
Okay.
Got it.
No, he's not.
Well, that's a good question.
Well, we promised not to hang up on you, but, I mean, sometimes they hang up on us, I guess.
All right. Well, it's 706-0111.
Yep.
Since Don doesn't give it every
5 seconds.
I'd give it more than every 20 minutes like you're doing. You said you're going to be grumpy tonight. You are. So let's roll, okay?
I didn't say
we don't know where
grumpy.
We're going. You know, we got to need to get back to the Lever thing, man.
Why?
I mean, we started with that. You started out the blue without even saying the name of the show.
I'm done with it.
Oh, you done with
it? Yeah, I'm done with it, too. You know, this is LSU.
They've obviously been thinking about this because they've already got somebody lined up.
No, but that's why I want to hear some people.
Woodward? Is that
Woodward, A&M's AD. Yeah, Texas A&M's AD.
They fired the wrong
course,
man.
And now, of course, when you listen to some of the announcers on this station, it's determined that Woodward is the greatest thing since sliced bread.
He will be until he makes a mistake.
Yeah.
Until somebody doesn't like it. Somebody on the Board of Supervisors,
you
don't listen
to
their recommendation, because the Board of Supervisors runs that rodeo. Ain't no doubt about that. Then you have one come out today, told Gilbo that he's been trying to do that for a couple years.
Yeah, so a former member of the committee or something.
Board of Supervisors.
Board of Supervisors,
yeah. Said he's been trying to do that. So,
but he couldn't get the votes, so.
Yeah, and I think that stemmed from the Les Miles firing. And but I mean, that's what was so finicky. You know, one, you have them all wanting to fire Miles, then they don't want to fire Miles, then you fire Miles, and it's the same thing with the Wade thing.
It was either Monday or Tuesday, but did you happen to read the opinion columns on the Will Wade situation? Scott Rabelais, who writes for The Advocate, on the one side, and Glenn Gilbo, who writes for Gannett, on the other.
Glenn and I are friends. He's a bulldog. I like Glenn, dude.
He absolutely toasted Wade and LSU every way from Sunday.
That's why Rabelais,
of course, was
diplomatic.
No, diplomatic's not the word.
Middle of the road.
No, I thought he had made.
He followed the median, you know.
Yeah.
He wants to be invited to the next press conference, is what you're saying,
that
right?
That, too.
Yeah.
Well,
Gilbo tells him
Gilbo's
like it
not
is.
Afraid.
No.
I've been knowing him a long time. He studied at University of Missouri School of Journalism, which was for years
considered one of the best in the country.
Best, yeah. The best. So Glenn's a hell of a writer, and you know, and again, he doesn't drink anybody's Kool-Aid, and that's why people hate him. He was in Alexandria, and I'm telling you, the LSU fans there hated him with a passion.
They still do.
In Baton Rouge and Lafayette, they still do.
They still do.
You know, but he makes valid points that some people just don't want to hear.
Well, he's realistic, and he's objective. He doesn't slant one total way. Yeah, you know, he's fun. He's fun to read his columns. I mean, because he tells it like it is. You know?
Well, he's your boy.
I was telling Glenn when we were coming over here.
Let's get him on the show.
Well, I can definitely get him on the show.
There you go.
I was telling Glenn when we were coming over today that I've never seen a fan base publicly turn on people like they do in Baton Rouge. You know, for any little reason.
I think that's unfair. I think a lot of fan bases around the country do that, and we just don't hear about it. Or see it like
maybe
we do every time out at LSU.
Maybe so, but I can only relate to what I see around here in the state of Louisiana.
I understand.
You know? I don't know, Tom. I know the first couple of years with Mark Hudspeth, there was a lot of that same type of mentality among the ULL fans, you know?
Bobby, you can move on to this UL. You can move on from this ULL stuff.
Why?
Even the Advocate has moved on from it.
Did you watch the baseball game last night? I almost passed
and
out.
Gannett is the University of Louisiana at Lafayette's home newspaper. We may not be thinking at times a whole heck of a lot about them, but they are the hometown paper. And I don't think they use ULL with any regularity, do they?
I don't think they ever used it at all. And
then why are you doing it?
Because my only argument in this is that when the guys that work at the university get their paycheck, it's the University of Louisiana at Lafayette. It ain't UL, and it ain't Louisiana. I'm sorry. That's just the way I feel.
Not a problem. Just start calling them LSU A&M from now on.
Yeah. Or call North Carolina, North Carolina at Chapel Hill. And call Nebraska, Nebraska at Omaha.
Aren't you so happy you came back from Houston?
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
But thank you for the tea.
Did you watch the baseball game last night? I almost passed out in my chair.
Talk about it in a moment. We need to take another commercial break. This is Five Guys Stories and Lies. 706-0111. That's the phone number here. We would love to hear from you, and we'll be back after this.
Bucks will play. They're here to tell it like it is and how it was. This is Five Guys Stories and Lies on 103.7 The Game.
Don, Bobby, Tom, and Glenn, who wanted the phone number, give it again, 706-0111. That's 706-0111. Call now. It's 706-0111.
He's
706-0111.
Now, does everybody understand what a big jerk he is and why I react the way I do? Because he knows how to pull my chain. I know he once said it hung low, but doggone. Yeah, I got to watch my language on this. Somebody said, man, you hadn't cussed on that show. I said, oh, it's been close. Somebody else has, but I haven't.
And if you're out of the area code, it's 337-706-0111. You've seen
man,
those.
Can you,
You've
can,
seen
can
those.
You imagine?
Wait. It's a
he
point.
Ain't married. Could you imagine being married to that? Come on, give me a break.
You've seen those commercials, and they drive you nuts.
Yeah, you do. You do. I mean,
I'm
going to
do it again,
man,
too.
No, because you know what? You're just being a jerk.
He just gave the phone number five more times than I heard the baseball score on the radio. Driving home one night.
That's uncalled for. That's uncalled for.
But it's true.
How come
none of
y'all asked? My wife said, why you put up with that stuff? I said, I don't know, man. I'm like abused, whatever. But unbelievable.
You get put
you
up
love,
with.
You love just putting it to me, don't you? You do.
Glenn, it's so easy.
I know it's so easy. You know? Now, can we talk about LSU and Oliva? Are we done with that in your world? You know, I just got a text.
We got an hour and a half left.
I just got a text saying that Gilbo is always negative, got a negative slant.
Let me guess.
That's if you have an agenda.
Let me guess.
He's got a negative slant.
It came from an LSU fan, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well,
you have an agenda.
Sure,
yeah.
Exactly.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, and that's what I'm saying. They defend their school more than anybody I know.
They have to, because they're always getting accused of something.
Oh, man. I didn't say that. No, man.
I don't have anything else for Leva, do you?
Well, I wasn't one of those who was calling for his head. I thought he acted properly in what he did. Again, going by the language of the contract, the only thing I have against him, I'd have fired the guy.
Yeah.
And I think y'all all agree with that. I'd have fired him so fast and made his head spin.
Well, supposedly, and this is a big quotation mark around this word supposedly, there's an email floating around that said it wasn't Olivia's decision. It was, what's the president's name? Thompson?
Alexander.
Alexander. It was Alexander's decision.
Not to fire him?
Not to fire him?
Yes.
King they had Alexander. It in black and white. This, you're getting out of $10 million right there, and you're cleaning the slate, and you're getting somebody in there a month and a half before signing date, and you're in a lot better shape than you in today because I keep going back.
Well, what's the purpose of having an athletic director if the president is going to pull the string on that?
Whoa. You can't say nothing about that.
Here we go.
After what happened at UL with the hiring of a football coach over there, when Nelson Schechtsnyder wanted to hire somebody and he got that pulled out from under him? No, man. UL's just as guilty.
Oh, absolutely.
You were sitting there with me in his office that day. That guy did not have a say in that final hire.
Did I say something about UL being not guilty of that?
No, but you can't pin that just on LSU.
There are warts everywhere.
Absolutely.
All I simply said is, what was the purpose of having the AD if the president was going to supersede his decision?
Money
if he was
talks.
Hired to run the athletic department, he should have been able to make that decision, is what
you
I'm
there
saying.
As long as you agree with the money. You there as long as you do what the money tells you to do. That's what that's all about.
Clint, play a money song.
A money song?
Play a money song.
So, if you're Will Wade right now,
you don't have a team.
What do you tell?
You ain't got many players either.
Yeah. Well, that was the point I was coming to. It's like, how do you recruit? Like, when you walk into a potential recruit's house,
exactly.
What do you tell them?
I can get you.
Yeah.
Better than the NBA rookie.
Yeah,
minimum.
I would tell them the same thing he told the guys that he brought in there is I'm going to call Armstrong and we're going to get you a solid deal and. You need to come play for us for 1 year so that you can go to the NBA.
No, you know what I would
do? And although that's unfair as hell, and I'll be the first to say that, but that's what they're going to be looking at.
No, but you know what
years.
What I would tell a recruit if I'm in Will Wade's shoes? You know, first of all, you love this. Trust me. Okay? And no. But listen, trust me. I'm going to be here a long time. And if I'm not, you know what? The NCAA allows you to transfer to any school you want if I'm terminated.
So you use a worst-case scenario.
That's the only – well, what else can you use? What, no, seriously, what else can you use?
I think that's kind of the point as to why we're saying he shouldn't be there at all.
Again, what else can you say? Look, if they come up with something and I'm terminated, you haven't lost anything. They do this in June. You can transfer.
So he
to
should go into the recruits and say, "Recruits,
Clint's
say,
laughing. You
listen,
don't agree with
I
that,
may
Clint?
Be I may be in jail in 3 months, and I won't be able to coach you, but you'll be able to transfer anywhere
Absolutely.
You want.
Absolutely. But you know what? If I'm not found guilty of anything, we roll.
Yeah, and I'll be here. And they all go, okay.
And
trust
you know,
me. Trust me. And how many times you heard, trust me?
And
just trust me.
You know what the player will say?
What?
Coach, we're going to only be here for 1 year.
Money.
Coach, I trust you. How much you got?
But
thank you, Clint.
But in today's NCAA basketball climate, players only stay for one, 1 or 2 years now.
Yeah, it's getting that way.
You know, I mean,
and that's what's wrong with it because
look at Duke.
Okay.
I mean,
Zion Williams is gone. He's a gone pecan.
I want somebody
half a year.
I want the NCAA to answer this for me, and I know it all goes back again. Y'all know how I feel about all this legal stuff. It goes back to why in college baseball you have to wait 2 years before you can sign if you show up on campus. Why in football you have to wait 2 years. Why in basketball you can do a one and done. Why? You know why? Because a lawyer is going to come and saying that you're depriving Don Allen of making a living. So you have to let him go after a year. But how come nobody's ever done that with football or baseball? Somebody please call me and tell me.
Well, the money's bigger in basketball for one thing. Okay,
may I say this?
What?
The NBA, and correct me if I'm wrong, the NBA cannot sign a player out of high school, right?
They did in the past, and then they come into the G League in 2022, Clint. I think it's the 2022 they will be able to.
Now, Major League Baseball can sign a player. Out of high school.
But if they show up on campus, they got to stay there 2 years. Somebody made a good point. Said, okay, let's
I thought go. It was 3 years.
No, you can
for
sign
baseball.
After. I thought it was you sign after your sophomore year, you can sign. No, somebody brought up a good point. Okay, if you're going to let them do this in basketball, this is what you say. Okay, you coming for a one and done? Are you coming for a two and done? If you leave early, okay, for all this money you're going to get, you pay us back for those 2 years of all that stuff that we paid for, your tuition, your meals, all of that stuff. You pay us back for those 2 years.
Oh, that's where the lawyers will have you in
court for
the rest of your life.
You can't do anything without getting lawyers involved. That's what I'm trying to tell y'all. That's why the athletic world is like it is. That's why the world's like it is. You can't do anything. Boy, silence, man.
Well, they're the only professional group right now who has managed to make themselves indispensable.
What, lawyers?
Yeah, really.
Oh, and there's no doubt. Again, we count the billboards.
Think about
how many billboards you saw for one lawyer in a 20-mile
16
spread?
From the there you go. From the Highway 14 New Iberia exit to in the neck over the next 12 miles, it was 16 billboards for one attorney. I only looked for the one guy that I see on TV every night just to see how many billboards he had.
Was he easy to spot because he had a truck in the billboard?
He had truck accident. He had auto accident. He had
offshore
maritime law. You know, I'm here for all of them, okay? No problem.
But again, the stretch between you and I. Apparently the
judicial
stretch.
Judicial buffet.
Apparently
yeah,
the stretch.
Yeah, I want to be your family's attorney for life. You know,
the stretch out towards New Orleans is bad, too. And that's why they were gonna, when Donna mentioned it, where they had the proposal in the House of Representatives here in Louisiana to stop that.
Crushed.
And it got crushed something like, what was it, 14 to 3?
16 to 3.
16 to 3.
There is one in the Senate committee.
Yeah, but they're all
not
attorneys.
They're not, they're not expecting
that's
that to
say,
do any better.
The three guys were non-attorneys. They were farmers, ranchers.
The only three in the legislature, we might add.
Yeah, yeah. People keep putting them in.
And on the way to Texas Sunday and on the way back from Texas Tuesday, not one attorney sign on I-10 or any billboard at all, cars or anything else.
Oh, look, man, don't get me started on that. I mean, coming from the insurance business, I saw so much stuff going on. God almighty, I couldn't be an adjuster. I'd lose my job the first day.
I have a good friend who was an adjuster for many, many years.
They could tell stories.
He's got some horror stories.
They got stories y'all would not, but I'm telling you that some one of them ought to write a book about the cases that they deal with. It's unbelievable, man. Unbelievable.
If I hire somebody to be my attorney for life, does that mean I have to keep getting hurt for the rest of my life?
Well, if you do get hurt, most of the time you keep the same one.
Yeah.
Because I had a good client that you couldn't even see the scratch on his car, and the people.
And he got $300,000.
No, he didn't get that much. No, but he didn't have a scratch on his car, but the people who cut back of him, we got a letter of representation within 2 or 3 hours from a lawyer. Now, this lawyer was not close to being in the town we live in, and we got a letter of representation over the fax machine within 2 to 3 hours. That's how, I mean, that's how that stuff
is called. Racket.
A friend of mine was called out to an accident, and it was an intersection of University and I forget the name of the road, but anyway, he got there, and there were like 10 people lying.
Oh yeah,
we had lying that on the road.
Yep. And what, there was two in a car to begin with?
Something like that.
Yeah.
10 people, and yeah, the insurance company settled with all of them for
absolutely
like $3,000 each.
Absolutely.
Just to get rid of it. Absolutely. Just to get it out of the way.
If a company has
welcome
high
to
limits,
America.
Yeah. Yeah. People blame the insurance companies, but, you know, if you're sitting there with $300,000 limits and something like that happens, let me tell you something. You settle it in a hurry for $3,000 so that they don't lawyer up and
that's
all
right
of a sudden have neck injuries and all kind of other stuff. So you sell it as fast as you can, and then your client gets mad at you for giving money to people they say weren't hurt. And that happens every day, every day, every day.
This is Five Guys Stories and Lies. 706-0111. That's 706-0111. That's your phone number. We promise we will not hang up on you. We'll be back with more after this.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you.
Get away. Get a good job.
The viewpoints heard on this program could be considered politically incorrect.
Good thing they're too old to care.
Well, that's easy for you to say.
This is Five Guys Stories and Lies on 103.7 The Game.
You picked a bad time. You picked a bad time to listen to me. You picked a bad time.
I love that line. With that in mind, here are Five Guys Stories and Lies with Glenn Quibodeau, Tom Brown, Bobby Ardwan. I'm Don Allen. Clint Domang, our guy behind the glass.
Big Clint.
Big Clint, the man in charge of the music. He's picking up a phone. Does that mean we have a call, Clint, before we get too deeply
that might be Bradford right there
into this incredible topic that we've got planned for you?
Yeah. Yeah, because you don't know where we're going.
Which is Bobby and I just here to listen tonight.
It's like, no, you know what our show was like? Like what Forrest Gump say? We're like a box of chocolates. You don't know what you're going to get.
What do we got, Clint?
All right, we got Ryan on the line. He's got a question for y'all.
Who?
Ronnie?
Ryan.
Ryan.
Go ahead, Ryan.
Hey, Ronnie.
Hey, guys. Hey, I heard y'all talking earlier about scholarships and one and done and 2 years and done and about the money they would owe to school. But I always thought that college scholarships were on a year-to-year basis. Just because you sign a four-year scholarship doesn't mean you're going to get 4 years paid for. That's not a coach's discretion on a year-to-year basis. So if a kid stays a year or two, they fulfill their obligation based on that year-to-year scholarship. So I was kind of confused on what y'all said about they should be obligated to pay anything back, but they fulfill their commitment for a year, and it's fulfilled.
But you see, legally, you're right. Yeah. Yeah, go back to all the legalese, man. Well, legally, you're right.
Yeah. No, you're right.
I don't know about legally. I mean, that's what the rule is.
No, you're right. It's very rare they're going to take a scholarship away from you.
Here's what I don't.
That's not very not as much as you think. I mean, things go on.
I know. I agree. Here's what I would have a question about it is, the guy that stays here a year and then transfers out. You know, and you've got plans for this kid to be in your backfield, you know, to be your quarterback, to be your starting point guard, and he transfers out. Now, if he transfers to another Division I school, he's going to probably have to sit out a year. You know, but suppose it's not to a Division I school. Suppose it's just a place to play and then get out and get in the NFL as soon as possible. I have a problem with that, I think.
Before it's all over with, what's going to happen is there are going to be no transfer rules.
No, because you've already it only applies to football, basketball, and baseball.
Yeah, because the girls
sitting
can go where they want, right?
That's the only thing it applies
to. That won't happen until they put a rule on coaches being able to adjust from school to school either. So it goes both ways.
Yeah.
Ryan, Ryan, you got a good point. Glenn asked you not to correct him anymore.
What did I miss? I said he was right.
What's that phone number again, Don?
706-0111. We would love to hear from you.
Legally, he was right.
No,
he was right. Yeah,
legally.
You sign a kid and you tell him we're gonna give you a 4-year scholarship to come play, but you got to perform. After a year, you know, I mean, if they decide, hey, you flunking out or you're not doing what we thought you could do, they could pull your scholarship.
Oh, I know, and they do. Yeah. And they do.
Yeah.
Okay, here's thank you, Bradford. My nephew actually sent us this.
Your nephew's an attorney.
Yeah, LSU. He sent the letter.
An LSU attorney?
Somebody had a public where is that thing?
He ignored that.
A
Bobby.
Public records request that somebody got the email from Alexander to Oliva, and it appeared on Tiger Droppings, and this is what it said.
There's the source.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if they got it from there.
We only have an hour left
of
the
show.
This
is day. Yeah, well, you just hush up, man. Dated 3/8/2019, based on Will Wade's refusal to meet with us regarding the accusations published yesterday in the media, I hereby direct you to place Coach Wade on an interim suspension immediately and indefinitely, pending further investigation. That was supposedly from the president of the university to Oliva. Everybody's blaming Oliva for that. So that's where that came from.
If that is accurate, I wouldn't blame Oliva for leaving.
Well, he's not leaving. He's going into fundraising.
No,
well,
he's becoming the assistant to the president for something.
I know, but I mean, he's undermining his whole decision in the Will Wade situation.
His integrity is shot to hell.
Exactly. Yeah, it's like, you know, I don't blame him for getting out of there.
He's probably got 2 or 3 years left on his contract, so he's going to go make appearances at all the town hall meetings or whatever and promote LSU and get paid his salary.
Well, as much hate speech is going on out there about him from LSU fans, I don't see how you send him out to raise money.
Because he's no longer the AD now, so they all love him again, okay? He's Joe Lee.
Tom could have a valid point there.
If you don't like him, you don't like him.
Don't look at me when you say that.
Well, it kind of fits, doesn't it?
No. I don't care about Joe Lee one way or the other.
I don't either. I don't care about any of it. I don't care where he goes. He can go work on the in the agricultural department.
I just find it unusual that the basketball coach gets caught on a wiretap saying he's got a strong-ass offer out there for this player, and as a result of that, they fire the athletic director.
But Don, according to some LSU purple and gold Kool-Aid drinkers, Will Wade was actually acting as an FBI informant.
No, well, you read that in National Enquirer.
Direct all your inquiries to Bobby Ardoin.
Hey, look,
Tiger Droppings. That's where it came from.
Five Guys news break right here. So if you're an LSU fan listening, you're gonna want to listen at 7:15 because Glenn Gilbo, y'all favorite person, is calling in at 7:15.
Okay, that works.
We'll get it from the horse's mouth.
Sounds good.
So,
always good to hear from him.
See, there's a definite advantage to Glenn being on his cell phone during the entire show. He was able to text and set up.
Man.
No, actually, that's a good point, Tom.
Yeah.
That is a good point.
It's the second, Bobby, that's the second valid point I've made tonight. Make sure you write that down.
I'm dead. I don't know. Can y'all hear me?
Oh, yeah, we can hear
you.
Oh, okay. We just don't want you to hear us.
Just went bye-bye.
That won't fix it, but we'll fix it at the next commercial break.
Yeah. So what? That's all I'm good for is picking up stuff off of there? I got two good things off of there today. While y'all sitting there and he's trying to antagonize the hell out of me, but other than that.
It's called humorous sarcasm.
And this room is saturated with it.
And look,
it's dripping down the walls in here.
You just don't know. Still not working. Play.
We got to talk some rage and cages
we'll
when we come back.
We'll take care of it. We're going to take a break right now.
Will it be?
Give the phone number, Glenn.
Louisiana or ULL.
We're going to talk about some rage and cages.
When when Glenn Gilbert calls, I'm sure.
We're going to talk some Raging Cajuns athletics because, after all, they are the ones winning the sporting events this week.
Oh, that's
they won a they won a baseball game.
Yeah, they're not like taking another
good
cheap
grief,
shot,
Tom.
It's like, you know, they didn't win the World Series.
They won a baseball game. By the way, what's the Yankee Red Sox score, Glenn?
Who cares?
Last I checked, them a 3-0 Red Sox. Yankees had them runners on second and third. 3-1 now. Red Sox still in the
you
lead.
You got some money on this game or something?
No, I'm a Yankee fan.
Oh.
Okay. That's all. No, I'm a Yankee
fan. I used to ask him to give me scores because I had money on them.
Five Guys, Stories, and Lies. We'll be back after this.
Live from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette, this is KLWB Karen Crow Lafayette, 1037 The Game, a Delta Media station. Call Lafayette Roofing, 237-7663.
This is Stacy on her motorcycle.
What an incredible view!
And this is Stacy off her motorcycle.
Does this have sucralose in it?
On her motorcycle.
Oh, the wind in my hair!
Off her motorcycle.
It's pronounced etc., not etc.
On.
Woohoo! Yes!
Off.
No.
You're better on your bike. And with basic policy starting at $75 a year, quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Annual premium for basic liability policy not available in all states.
At Indeed, we understand that when it comes to hiring.
Live and local, this is Acadiana Sports Station, 1037 The Game. With over 200 combined years of sports coverage in Acadiana, this is a gathering unlike any other.
Well, every week this show looks better to me.
Every week your eyesight gets worse.
This is Five Guys, Stories, and Lies. Here's your host, Don Allen.
Hey, guys, welcome back. I have a question money all can answer. When did it become the Shrine on airlines?
Long time ago.
Yeah, it was just kind of.
The phraseology? It's the first time I've heard of that.
Oh, me too. That's first time.
Trying to find something that
I believe it was rhymed like,
with airline.
Whenever they switched over from the Zephyrs to the Baby Cakes, because they couldn't call it Zephyr Field if the Baby Cakes were playing.
You could have called it Baby Cakes Field.
I think that would have been. Good point, but I'm sure that would have been just as ridiculous
probably
as naming
not.
A team Baby Cakes Field, especially considering the fact that the Baby Cakes are getting the. Heck out of Dodge after this season.
Yeah, they're leaving.
Are they going to be replaced?
No word yet.
Yeah, that probably is going to be a couple years down the line type thing. I know they're going to wind up moving them up north after this season's done, and then we'll probably find out.
Baby Cakes.
I'm assuming they're going to change their nickname, right?
Presumably.
Oh, God, I hope they do.
It's a problem.
But that was a popular
name. No, I'm saying you move them over to wherever. I can't remember where they're moving them exactly, but I'm not sure Baby Cakes will wind up. Making a whole heck of a lot of sense over wherever it's going to be up north.
Does anyone outside of New Orleans know what Baby Cakes means?
I highly doubt it.
King Cakes would have sounded better.
Yeah.
Oh, of course.
But what does it mean, Tom?
Well, it's the baby in the king cake is what it is.
Okay.
Oh, is that what that was?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's referred to the baby in the king cakes.
The baby that they can't put in the king cakes anymore.
Right.
Yeah, but for legal reasons.
Yeah.
But I guess they didn't want to call them king cakes, so they called them baby cakes.
Now, how many, when we were growing up as kids, I don't ever remember having a problem with somebody squalling the baby.
No, but I can see how a kid that
today,
could happen to a
But
a
the
youngster.
King, but the babies in the king cakes were longer, larger. They were like porcelain.
Yeah, now they're little
they were like
things.
Porcelain. When you bit in it, you didn't put it in your mouth and swallow it. You know.
Yeah,
now they're a little bitty old tiny
you
plastic.
You broke your
thing.
Tooth.
Yeah,
right?
You broke a tooth. Yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
So what you're saying is they got cheap and they bought cheaper little.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't
but they
know
charge more for them.
Huh?
They charge more for them for the king cakes.
Oh God, man, the prices of those things.
What do king cakes run for these days?
$30 minimum. If you're gonna get a good one.
It depends on the size you get. You know,
if you get a good one from. Poupards or Meshes or one of those places. Oh no, you're gonna pay $30 up.
That's not king cakes. You go to Randazzo's. That's where you go.
Randazzo. Yeah. We don't have a Randazzo's in.
You
life
can get it mailed to you for $50.
Oh, I want
to
have a
oh,
cake
yeah.
mailed
why don't you
to me.
Order
yeah.
one, buddy. Yeah, why don't you do that? Let's go to Rouse's and get one. You know, Rouse's makes. Well, we got some useless trivia. I read where Rouse's sells over 500,000 king cakes a year.
What is that other cake that they make at Rouse's?
Gentilly, buddy.
Oh.
That's the best in the world.
To die for.
Everybody, yeah. Everybody I've told about that cake's going to get it, and every one of them said, oh, my God, I can't believe that.
What's so special about it?
Oh, you got to eat it.
What is it? What is it made of?
It's a light. I can tell you the recipe, but I mean, you wouldn't want to go there. But
we need to pick one up and bring it in one day. That way,
it's unbelievably
Clint
light.
Can eat half of it. and it will share the rest of
us. You know what's great about a place like Rouse's? Rouse's, they're not afraid. They sell those probably hundreds of thousands. And, dude, they got a monthly magazine, a bi-monthly magazine. They put the recipe for that cake in there, and I know that's the recipe because I talked to the people that were baking it in a bakery, and they told me how they made it. And when it came out in a magazine, it was exactly how they told me they made it. So if you like a Gentilly cake, the recipe's out there, and one of Rouse's monthly is probably on their website.
Is it named after the area Gentilly in New Orleans? Is that what it is? Is
Gentilly that where it comes lace. From?
No, that's Chantilly lace.
No.
Well, and some of them have a Chantilly cake, which is basically an imitation of their Gentilly. No, but I tell you what, if you've never had that cake, God almighty, that's true. That's an unbelievable cake.
It's to die for.
A lot of fruit.
How far have we come in our world today when you can walk in the front door at Rouse's and there's boiled crawfish, you can buy them by the pound.
How far have we dropped on the show that we're discussing?
Yeah, discussing.
Well, I mean, hey,
5 minutes.
You know. Well, it's food. We're getting hungry.
Well, let's talk about Raging Cajuns, man. Well, what a great week they've had.
In a moment.
Yeah, because Glenn's calling him.
Yeah, 10 minutes from now.
Yeah,
a little less than 10. Glenn Gilbo, who writes for the Gannett.
Now, give or take a couple of minutes on that.
Notice how they always stop me when I want to start talking about softball.
You didn't say softball. He said UL, didn't he?
Yeah, he said UL.
They had a great week.
Great week.
What else would they be playing? Baseball and softball.
Has softball played a game this week?
Played five.
This week?
Yeah, they've been playing. They stopped
from
every
the weekend
30 miles.
No, last week? Weekend was last week. How many have they played this week?
Two
games.
Yeah.
North Carolina, Greensboro, and Campbell?
Yeah. Campbell.
Did they beat Greensboro?
Yes.
Yeah.
What was the score?
6-2.
Well, he just pounded those two.
What are they, like 30?
They did what they had to do. It was 6-0, and Summer had five innings. She had 12 strikeouts. I think she had given up one or two hits.
Go sit down.
And they took her out. You know, let's let the staff finish the game. And they got a two-run homer off of one of the relievers.
But those kind of games, how come they're not pitching those other girls?
They are pitching them.
I haven't seen Lamb's name in forever.
39-4
Yeah.
Is what they are. I'm not sure what the deal is on Lamb. She has not pitched in a while. I don't know if she's – I'll try and find out this weekend for you if she's injured or possibly being redshirted.
Who do you got, Georgia State or somebody like that?
Georgia State should be an easy weekend.
A lot of rain in the forecast for tomorrow.
Yeah, they moved the game to 7:30 because it was originally a 6 o'clock start because the rain is supposed to end by 6 o'clock. So being as the outfield is turf and the infield will be covered, they can play.
Okay.
I think it's also because apparently like the travel details kind of got mixed up, apparently, according to the release that they put a couple days ago. That's why they also moved it back an hour.
Yeah, they went to play App State last weekend, and then they played Campbell and NC Greensboro just to have some more games while they were there.
Well, that's smart. I think that was smart as
could be. Yeah, it is.
Yeah. You're traveling on a bus, you might as well stop and play some games.
You know, hey, they're not going to score 15 runs every game. You know, it's like you're going to have a game where you just – hit the ball right at people, and that's what ended up happening to them. But they did what they had to do to win.
Well,
look at him. It's just, I understand what you're saying now, you know.
Oh, you just waking up to that fact?
I have not said a thing.
He can
detrimental
be
to anything.
It's unbelievable, man.
Softball's big around here, man. It's big, you know.
I get picked on this show.
Oh my goodness.
Man, I got my violin out, dude. You get picked on. I'm the one that got hammered by three of y'all tonight, and Clint's in there laughing. So, no.
I didn't say anything.
What's your Yankee score, Clint?
It is currently 3-1 right now, two outs, bottom of the fifth.
Okay.
If you don't have money on this game, you missed a good opportunity.
It's who cares to who cares.
Huh?
It's who cares to who cares.
By the way, that was Tom Brown speaking. If you'd like to put that voice into your bank for future reference of ignorance.
What a line.
Oh, man.
The Astros are playing tonight at 9 o'clock. I think 8:30 is like the
8:30 pregame, 9:07 first pitch.
Oakland.
Yeah.
Oakland.
Weird two-game series. I don't know why that is like it is.
Yeah, that's a new,
especially ALS.
Especially sending them all the way to the West Coast. You don't like the Astros either.
Baseball bores me.
Well, let's talk. let's talk about the Cajuns and LSU on boredom. What would you like to talk about the boring
part? I said, you talking about Major League Baseball is what you're talking about. I go to softball games. I don't know. I watched the game last night, though. It was a good game. It was. I'll tell you what.
All right. What are the odds of the Cajuns making the tournament at this stage?
I ask
every week.
Which tournament are we talking about?
Making an NCAA tournament.
I'd say slim.
No. Give a figure. What
do you mean? Give a figure.
What are your chances? Do you think?
I think they would have to probably more or less run the table and win the conference.
That's not a
5%. They don't have to win the conference.
What
they have to do is win the conference tournament.
Win the tournament.
Well, that's what I meant. Conference tournament.
So, what do you think the odds are?
I think 5%.
That's probably about right. Yeah.
You know, because I think they're going to make the conference tournament. They're playing much better baseball.
Yeah, they are playing better.
They're tied for fifth right now?
The pitching is still very suspect, especially if your starters don't have a solid game. You're in serious trouble.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
By the way, last night's game, I was kind of surprised that they didn't let Gunnar Leje finish that.
Well, Schultz was pitching so well.
Yes, he was.
I mean, he went 3-plus innings, you know, and didn't allow a run.
What do you think the possibilities are that Leje gets a start this weekend at Arlington?
I don't know.
I haven't really kept up with whether or not he's going to even go back to the starting rotation.
I haven't either.
I haven't been to any of the press conferences.
If he does, I think he'll be at the tournament time. That would be the time to do it. I wouldn't do it right now.
Yeah, he's not listed as a starter this weekend when you look at the release UL put out earlier today, yet Perrin, Young, and Burke basically the same starting rotation that you had last weekend. And when it comes to Gunnar Leje not pitching last night, I think it's because I know Robichaud's talked about it over the past couple weeks, is have him be a closer on both Friday and Sunday. Of course, that's if the situation presents itself.
I know you've got stuff to do.
Yeah.
Perrin, Young, and Burke.
Burke,
I know you've got stuff to do.
Yeah.
But if you get a chance and you rip down their schedule real quick, in conference games, what's their record on Friday nights?
Give me a minute.
Yeah, they're not. It's not good.
See, Jack Burke was really effective last year in midweek games, and he was. They thought he'd be one of the starters this year, and I didn't find out till recently he'd been battling an injury, which is why he was getting kind of, I guess, raked around a little bit. He had a start over the weekend where he pitched well. He pitched really well over the weekend.
I know.
You know, so he's a guy that if he comes on, he can give you a starting pitcher that can go 6 or 7 innings.
Young has blossomed into something I don't think anyone thought of. I think the big question mark is Perrin.
Yeah. And then you got the Savoie kid, too, who's done well.
Who pitched well last night.
He's got a bunch of young pitchers that are starting to be effective. You know, they're not going to go 9 innings. They're not going to go 7 probably. But – you know, you just never know. And his hitting has gotten better. I mean, it's gotten better as the season's gone along.
It has. Mm-hmm. You know who has slacked off a little bit? Is Hayden Cantrell. But as he has slacked off, so has the rest of the team, it seemed like, picked it up a little bit. You know, Vaughn and Monica.
Monica.
And
yeah.
for a while there, Monica was like a rally killer.
Yeah.
But not anymore.
Yeah.
What not you got anymore. Planned?
It's 1-7 on Friday nights. The only win they've had. All right, trivia time here. What was the one win they had on a Friday night?
Is this conference play?
No, this is non-conference play. Oh, it's overall 1-7 all season long on Friday nights.
That wasn't Texas, was it?
No.
No. Oh, God, no. That was a close ball game.
They could have, would have, should have won.
They could have won that one, definitely.
Yeah, they could have.
Missed opportunities. Two,
what was it?
It was Loyola Marymount, the one that you should have won.
Yeah.
But you know what? That means they've lost every Sun Belt Conference
opener,
and they are 8-7.
That's impressive.
So, yeah, that is.
Yeah.
That is. That, as Tony, I think, mentioned in one of the pieces he was quoted, and that shows a lot of heart, a lot of guts by this team. There is no quit to this team, and I agree with him there.
So you see, at one point early.
With that statistic, how do you analyze that 1-7? Is it the fault of the pitching, or is it the hitting, or what?
Oh, I think you have to go back and look at the scores, but I think you combine the two.
Yeah, it's a combination.
Leje didn't win either one of the first two games he pitched, but he had an ERA under 2. So you blame the hitting on those.
Yeah.
We need to take a break.
Technically, Cantrell
started the season like 120 at one point.
Or,
you know?
Or,
Well, Gunnar didn't pitch that second in that second series against him, Sam Houston State, because he wound up having to take a little bit of a week off due to rest because he wound up having a little inflammation. But he did start in that Friday game against him, Loyola Marymount the next week.
Coach Glasgow made an interesting comment talking about his softball team that relates to what you're talking about with the baseball team. It's hard to stay consistent all season long. You have ups and downs where you have a segment of time where you're just hitting the ball right at people, and then all of a sudden it starts falling for you, you know, and then you'll go 10 for 14 or something like that. And that's what happened with Cantrell.
Fell last night, fell over the fence.
Yeah.
We need to take another commercial break. We expect Glenn Gilbo back with us momentarily on the Ardco Equipment Hotline at 706-0111. This is Five Guys, Stories and Lies, and we'll be back.
Now, back to Five Guys, Stories and Lies on 103.7 The Game.
Gotta get myself off the side of the road.
It's Five Guys, Stories and Lies on 103.7 The Game. And we are privileged to have with us Glenn Gilbo. Glenn, this is Don Allen. Let me ask you this. What is your official title with Gannett? Never mind. We'll give you one. How's that?
I'm a sports writer for USA Today Network.
Okay. Don Allen, Tom Brown, Bobby Ardwin, and Glenn Quibido, and we are with Glenn Gilbo, and he just gave you his title. This has been a pretty hectic day for you.
Yeah, it really has. It's one of those days. I sat down this morning, and I said, all right, I'm going to write a little baseball story for the Florida series, and then I'm going to go jump in the shower and run some errands, and I have not made it to the shower today.
I'm glad you're there and we're here, Glenn.
It's one of those tough days because I got in late last night from the baseball game with the Tigers losing to the Cajuns, and it just kept coming. And I thought I was done, and then surely they weren't going to hire Scott Woodward today. I knew that was coming, but I thought it would be maybe in a couple of days. But it's an amazing day, and I think it's actually it's a great day for LSU.
Really? And we've talked about it on the show before. Is it only in Louisiana, or only at LSU, that your head basketball coach gets caught on an FBI wiretap saying he's going to come up with a what was the proper phrase? Hell of an ass offer, something
strong
like that.
Big ass. Strong ass offer.
Strong ass offer. And what happens is that
they fire
the athletic director instead.
Yeah, right. Well, I can tell you, this firing of Oliva, I think, was in the works well before Will Wade was reinstated, and it might have happened separate of all this Will Wade stuff. This has been going on for years, the dislike of Oliva by board members and administrators and donors and the LSU community. It just took them a while to get what they wanted. You know, they eventually won. There's always inner battles going on at LSU, and they eventually won this one. There's still some board members that are upset and wanted to leave it a stay, but they finally lost.
Well, this is Glenn. Let me ask you a question.
Hey, Glenn. And
thanks for calling, Glenn.
Sure.
My question is this. If the guy is so disliked, why do you put him in the fundraising division?
Well, it's amazing. I have it in the story. I was just talking to Richard Lipsy this afternoon, who is really behind wanting Oliva out of there. He's a major donor, has been for decades, multimillionaire, businessman. And, he started the TAF, so he knows all about donors.
Yeah.
And he told me today, he said, Joe Oliva spent a lot of money and he never knew how to race. And now they make him in charge of donors. and in charge of, worse than that, donor relations. So I guess he's got to go see Richard Lipsey tomorrow morning. But I think they were just trying to give him a soft exit. LSU was, because the release said by LSU said that he will remain in that position until a new athletic director is named. That could be tomorrow.
That could be, so
he might only be on that thing for one day.
Well, don't you expect him maybe to try to get a job somewhere else?
Well, Joe's 66. He only had a year left on his contract anyway, and it had not been extended. So, most people thought that this was his last year, and he wasn't going to get it extended. So I think he may well retire. He could probably get something else at a mid-major level, maybe, or who knows. But I doubt if he'll work full-time again.
Glenn, why did LSU not fire Wade immediately when he said he wasn't going to meet with him?
Well, I think it was too rash, and it would have been too difficult to do that, I think. They would have got sued, and LSU's always getting sued.
Yeah.
it would have been difficult to get that done immediately with cause. So the key is to fire, if they decide to do this, and they've already looked into it, believe me. They were multitasking. They were trying to get him back while also looking into firing him with cause. But the key is, if you want to fire him, is to fire him with cause so you can get $10 million back. And I think they can still do that. But that's a pretty difficult process. And even if there's not a lawsuit. And I think that it couldn't have been done that quickly.
Glenn, this is Bobby Ardoin.
Hey.
What's going on? I was just wondering, how long do you expect Will Wade in his current situation to actually stay at LSU?
Boy, he's got a new boss now. That's going to be interesting. And Scott Woodward is known for quickly firing coaches and bringing in very good ones.
That's true. Yeah.
So, and Scott Woodward is going to be interesting to see how he views this. Because I can tell you, a lot of people, that are close to LSU, that used to be at LSU, they're really embarrassed by this Will Wade thing, but they're kind of keeping quiet. So there's a chance Woodward might not want to have to deal with Wade. But the thing is, though, reinstating him was probably a smart move in the short term, especially with the recruiting going on and you wonder who they could hire for him at this late date. And really the strategy now among schools is to, we'll deal with the NCAA when we cross that bridge, and I don't think schools are afraid of the NCAA as they used to be. They kind of wait it out and see what happens. That's what Arizona's doing. It's what Auburn did. Though Auburn did actually fire an assistant coach, Chuck Person, but I think that's what LSU is going to do. They're just going to kind of wait and see with the NCAA, but that could change under Woodward after a while.
It could also change depending on what happens with the FBI wiretap thing.
Oh, yeah, exactly. There could be more revelations by Yahoo. Something could come out in the April 22nd trial that Wade may or may not testify in. So, right. I kind of was leaning, and I can still see this argument, it might be better for the basketball program to just kind of start over fresh.
Oh, absolutely.
And they have a fresh athletic director, look, you can find a coach that was as qualified as Wade was when LSU hired him. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was not at many places long. He was at mid-major schools. There's plenty of coaches like that. The Murray State coach right now, the Northern Kentucky coach right now.
How do you recruit right now?
Yeah.
What do you? I was saying earlier, and they laughed at me. You know, I was saying, the only way I can see him recruiting is telling the kid, you got to trust me. And look, if I'm wrong, you can transfer to any school you want. Well, what else can you tell a kid at this point?
Well, coaches have a lot of experience at telling kids stuff, you know. So I'm sure Wade can talk his way out of that with the kids. But the thing is, he's already got relationships with all those kids, the two that have signed. And the other four he's recruiting, whereas a new coach wouldn't. So even though he's damaged goods, he still kind of has a chance with those kids because they know him.
Wow. Glenn, how much time are you going to be able to give us tonight?
You got a few more minutes?
Y'all are on till 8, right?
Yeah.
Well, we don't expect you to stay late, but no. We need to take a commercial break. Is that good with you?
Yeah, okay. Go ahead.
All right. We're with Glenn Gilbo from the USA Today Gannett. And we've got more to come here on Five Guys, Stories and Lies. And we'll be back after this.
They're here to tell it like it is and how it was. This is Five Guys, Stories and Lies on 103.7 The Game.
That's your number here at the studios. A special guest is Glenn Gilbo with us tonight. He of the USA Today Gannett newspaper chain.
LSU's favorite beat writer.
What was wrong with that?
It used to be Gannett, Louisiana, and then they changed it to USA Today Network. That's what it is.
You still a man in Louisiana for him, though.
Yeah. Well, thanks. I want to ask Bobby, which is the best Salvation Army to shop at?
How do you know about that? No, it's actually Goodwill.
I listen to your show. I'm usually in Lafayette once a week, and I catch your show, and I was listening that night when Bobby said that the best Salvation Armies are the ones for the rich neighborhood. I never thought of that, but it's brilliant.
Definitely. Lafayette, for instance, for the Goodwill stores.
Bobby, I don't think he was serious. Bobby, I think he was kidding.
If you go to the one on Ambassador Caffrey, that's where all the rich neighborhoods are. And I swear, man.
That's River Ranch stuff, man.
Bobby is closed.
I wonder what the Goodwill store by Rodeo Drive is like, man. That's the one you got to find.
Bobby is closed tonight in Bubba's jeans.
Bobby, they know Bobby first name basis at every Goodwill from Eunice to New Iberia. That gives you an idea.
Yeah,
we're not Mr. Bobby.
We're not making this up.
This is true.
Glenn. We've seen that.
Oh, yeah,
we've been with him and seen it. So, I mean.
I get hugs now from the managers. So.
All right. Well, next time I'm in town, Bobby, we're going on a shopping spree.
Hey, come join us, brother. Man.
We'll roll.
Yeah.
Glenn, this is Tom Brown. I don't think we've ever met, but, you know, I read about you all the time. And we talk about you all the time here. Back to Wade for just a second. With the FBI thing, there was talks around my office today of people saying that they had heard that he's not even going to be called as a witness or to testify in this anymore, and that he may just, like, walk away from this unscathed. Do you know anything about that?
He may not have to testify. That's been written.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to walk away from all of this unscathed. Because the NCAA has already been looking, his recruitment of Javonte Smart and multiple players, if you read all of the comments. I think eventually the NCAA will penalize him in some way. But, how much, I don't know. And you know, the NCAA, that. Unlike a court of law, they don't have to prove anything.
No, that's exactly right.
With the NCAA, yeah, if it smells bad, then they deal with it like that. So, I think Wade and the program will at some point get some penalties, as will Sean Miller at Arizona. But when that is, You know, it could be a while. Could be years.
Yeah, because, you know, that was my follow-up, is you really haven't heard anything about the NCAA, you know, for a lot of material about them being involved in this already and investigating anything. You know, it just looks like they're just kind of waiting to see what happens with the court date more than anything.
Can I get completely off the – I'm sorry, go ahead. Go ahead, Glenn.
Well, but they were in town for a week investigating Javonte Smart.
Okay.
There's no question about that. They were very much involved in that. Now, how much they've looked into Wade, I'm not sure yet, but there's a lot there. And you know, if you remember when Joe Paterno in Penn State, and far more serious situation, were investigated by the FBI, Emmert and the NCAA just decided, well, we're just going to piggyback on the FBI and penalize you from your, which was really smart, because instead of just doing your own investigation, heck, they already did one. So I think that's what the NCAA should do when the FBI gets finished.
Glenn, this has got nothing to do with anything, but did you follow Tiger Woods' win?
Yeah, I did. I did. I've always, you know, been a fan of Tiger Woods, and even though he definitely messed up personally, he withstood a lot of injuries to come back. So that was something to watch. And not long after finished watching it is when LSU did the news drop on Wade. So it's been crazy ever since. But, no, that was awesome watching Woods.
Well, you said, you know, it's been a busy day for you. So let me ask you this question. Since Oliva used to be the most hated person by LSU people, and now he is out the way, does that move you up to number one?
I don't know.
That's a good question, Glenn.
I don't know if Oliva ever got to number one, man. I may have always been number
you
one.
Always number one. Man, I tell you what, you stick in that craw a lot, don't you?
Yeah, but, you know, that's just a loud one. I mean, there's a lot of people that agree with me, and you know, usually the people that are most upset make the most noise on social media. But there is definitely a lot. I get concerned about it from time to time. My wife does. I mean, there's some terrible messages on there.
You've never been threatened, have you?
Oh no, no, not in person.
Just on social
media.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know, on Twitter and Facebook, you know, I mean, not life threats, but some really mean stuff.
Well, your piece the other day, you think Wade's going to talk to you if he stays?
Oh, I can cover a coach without ever having to talk to him. I've done that before.
And you, I did that with Beryl Shipley.
We've all done that.
Yeah. And the thing about that is, you know, I have to want to talk to him. You know, I mean, I don't really need to talk to him. I mean, you know, he doesn't have a lot of credibility, obviously.
Well, you know, let me just say this, and I being a former journalist, I admire what you do, because when I was here, what I said was the thing that I was most proud of, and I think you can be that, is that no one ever, when I was covering UL, called me a homer. And the same with you. You write it like you see it. You like write it like it is. And a lot of people don't like to hear the truth. You know, that old Jack Nicholson line you just can't handle the truth. And some people are like that. And when you write it like you write it, and I used to try to write it, you know, you're going to have people that dislike you. And, you know, I'm just telling you, I think you're doing a great job, and keep chipping away, man, what you're doing. And I'm not just referring to this story now, but with every story, I think you're fair. I think you do a good job of reporting what's happening. So just wanted to say
Glenn,
that.
If you want to talk to an LSU coach or an LSU player, do you have to go through the university before you contact them?
Most of the time, though, I've gotten Coach Orgeron on radio shows with Tiger Ragg, just from texting him.
Mm-hmm.
and I get along with him okay. Coach O is really, he understands the media. I mean, he saw big-time media when he was at in L.A.
Yeah.
So he understands it, and he's pretty cool about that. And, you know, Coach Maneri, I can talk to him anytime. He's great, and that's, you know, that's a different sport.
So you don't have to clear it through the university if you need to talk to those guys.
Well, I would if I wanted to talk to Wade or and sometimes with Coach O, and that's how it was with the previous basketball coaches. But I could talk to Brady at any time,
right.
You know. But it is funny. I mean, I you know, people think I'm negative, but I'm rarely negative when it comes to Maneri and the baseball program because I just don't think he messes up very much. I mean,
well, they do everything right.
Yeah,
they do.
They and do it by the book.
Yeah. Exactly, and they're the most successful program on this campus over the long term.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Maneri's won 4 SEC titles since the national championship. He almost won a national championship 2 years ago. So, you know, and they haven't had the drama and the craziness that football and basketball have had. You know, so I really just kind of report what's going on.
Glenn,
and when it's negative, it's negative.
Glenn, we can't thank you enough for joining us on short time. Bobby, of course, is going to delay this. What, Bobby?
No, he needs to go take a shower, Bobby. Let the man go.
That was my thought,
just
too.
Chill out, Don. Yeah, I have one more old-school question for Glenn. What is Dale Brown doing these days?
He's been talking to me quite a bit lately.
That's what I was hoping.
He's one of those quiet voices now. But no, Dale's doing great.
Dale's embarrassed?
Well, Dale thinks that, you know, I can say this, you know, he thinks Will Wade could be a little more professional and less sloppy.
Yeah.
In recruiting. You know, that's the key with Wade.
Does that mean be careful what you say on the phone? By less sloppy?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
But no, Dale's a great guy. He's doing very well.
Well,
and I wanted to tell Quibido, your check's in the mail for those sports writing awards.
Not a problem. No problem, dude.
Glenn,
got you back.
What did Dale say or what did he think or did he tell you anything when someone compared Wade to a young Dale Brown? Did he react to that comment at all?
I didn't ask him about that because that's ridiculous to say that. I mean, really, and Wade's nowhere close to John Brady either.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Wade had a decent first season; he was 7-9, and then he had, you know, a great season this year. But it's tainted, and he gave up on the team because he didn't want to meet with the school. That he really hurt his team.
Oh yeah.
For selfish reasons there. And I think a lot of reason why people think a lot of fans think he's a great coach is who he followed. I mean, he followed Johnny Jones and Trent Johnson. They were awful.
Yep.
And they're so starved for good basketball that they think he's a lot greater than he is. He is pretty good, but give me a break. He's nowhere near Brady or Dale.
Yeah, coaching-wise, I remember Butch Pierre telling me that Brady was a heck of a X and O guy. You know, coming from Butch coached with a lot of good coaches, man. So.
Yeah, but you're only as good a coach as the players you bring in.
Yeah, and you know, Brady and Butch were up and down with their recruiting classes, but, you know, when you look at overall, though, they did a pretty good job considering they had NCAA stipulations.
Yeah.
In their first several years. You guys ought to read Butch Pierre's book, too.
That's what I was going to ask you. You've read it?
I did. I wrote a feature on it, and it was very interesting. I mean, he talks about his time at UL and how he wanted to be the coach at UL at one point.
Believe me, Glenn, I was traveling with them during that time, and I guarantee you this, he didn't put anything in that book.
I was about to say, there's a lot of stuff he didn't put in that book, I bet.
Oh, yeah, well, that's true. That's true, but... It is an interesting read, you know, if you followed LSU or UL basketball. It's a lot of stuff. Interesting anecdote about him and John Brady getting some speeding tickets driving up to recruit Stromile Swift.
Jeez. Send me a copy of that. You got my email address. Send me a copy of that. I want to see it. Or did you enter it in the contest?
I'll get you a copy.
Okay, I appreciate it.
Glenn, thank you so much for joining us on very short notice.
Yeah, thank you, man. We really appreciate it.
Thanks very much. Thank you.
Go take that shower.
See you soon.
That is Glenn Gilbo with the Gannett.
USA Today Network.
USA Today Network.
Yep.
Who was kind enough to join us tonight. Where are we at here?
Great guy. Great writer. We got, what, about 12 minutes left? Something like that. And Clint wants a break.
That's what the music's for.
Thank you, sir.
Five Guys, Stories and Lies continues in a moment.
The viewpoints heard on this program could be considered politically incorrect. Good thing they're too old to care.
Well, that's easy for you to say.
This is Five Guys, Stories and Lies on 103.7 The Game.
Yeehaw. Astros tonight at 9 o'clock, batter up. They're out in Oakland, play the A's. 8:30 pregame. Where are they next week, Clint? I forgot if we had an hour or two-hour show next week.
Give me a second. I actually have the notes up here of the schedule for next week. Give me like a minute.
Okay. Not a problem.
Of course, give me like close out my notebook where it's at, so give me like
2 minutes.
That's all right, Clint.
No, I got it.
All right. That's all right. We're good.
Next Wednesday is going to be the Astros and the Twinkies. I believe that's going to be 6:35 pregame, so it'll only be like a half hour.
No, it'll be an hour.
Okay. So we'll just bump it up. Okay, cool.
We'll go till 7.
That's fine by me.
Okay, Clint. Right, thank you.
Short show.
You're welcome.
Week.
Nah, just okay. An hour next week.
We'll join the game live in the third inning.
No, we'll join the game before the first pitch. We're just eliminating all that stuff that people just can't wait to listen to the pregame.
Right, because you can get every statistic known to man at that time for the game coming up.
Still 3-1 Red Sox, by the way.
3-1 Red Sox?
Yeah, bottom seventh. Runners are first and second right now. Yankees at the plate.
All right. Thank you, Clint.
So you're going to miss the game.
No, actually, it's on ESPN. But they don't get ESPN here.
Okay.
Don't get me on that one again either.
Well, that's another place.
Well, they had the flag over the TV, so.
Anyway.
Listen, yeah, so. while we were gone, while we were on suspension, you said?
Yeah. Yes.
While we were suspended, Katie Anna lost a person who was dear to a lot of people here, especially the boxing community, Bernard Ben Babineau. I don't know if any of y'all got to know Ben, but Ben was boxing in Acadiana for years. I think he had Babineau Stables, I think is what they called it, and involved with boxing for like 30 years in Lafayette Sports for Boys. Yeah, it was Babineau Stables. And some of the guys he had in there, and people that are old enough will remember this, some of the best fighters Lafayette ever put out, Shelton LeBlanc, Roman George, and his own son Kevin was pretty good also. He was a heavyweight. But, Ben was just a big, lovable guy, and he brought some great fights. One of the fights I'll never forget, they had a fight card at a nightclub between Cade and Broussard. They had a nightclub on there, and he rented that building. And the buildup was that I think it was Sheldon LeBlanc was going to fight a guy that had gone the distance with Roberto Duran. So, man, look, it was a big thing. I made sure I was there to cover it. And when I tell you, the guy, he did fight Roberto Duran. He went the distance. But when I went, but it was years before. And when I interviewed him afterward, I've never felt so sorry for a guy in my life. Sheldon put him out in less than a round. I mean, it was like, it was unbelievable. Sheldon just pummeled him from the start. And when I talked to him, you know how they say boxers, you know, they take so many shots to the head. You know, he was struggling to talk even. But let me tell you something. Ben packed that place, man. And it was a big night. But he had those guys, still, if you know anything about boxing, those two guys from Lafayette were something special, Roman George and Sheldon LeBlanc.
I remember interviewing Rocky Marciano when he came to Lafayette at Toby's Oak Grove. Do you all remember Toby's?
Oh, yeah. I love that place.
Yeah, and he was here as a glad hand sort of thing.
Really?
And that was just a few months, I think, before he died in the plane crash.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And the only other time I've really gotten deeply into boxing was when the Russians and the United States.
USA versus Russia. I remember that.
At Blackham Coliseum. Big crowd. But anyway, I hadn't been at KPL that long. And I got to actually call the fights, you know, on the air, on the radio. I still got a tape of that. I remember how much fun that was.
I don't know if it was Ben or if it was, I think it was Ben. But y'all remember when Jerry Cooney was a big name in heavyweight boxing? And he came and fought at Blackham Coliseum? That was a big thing, man. And
I vaguely remember. Who did he fight?
Man, I don't remember.
No idea.
He was the Great White Hope, remember?
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't call me making comments. That's what they called him.
No, absolutely.
He was
that's
the
what
Great
he was.
White Hope.
Yeah. That's what he was. Well, he didn't do too well.
He could take a punch, though, man. He could get beat up for 10 rounds.
I think Ali did that.
Ali was the best, man.
Yeah, Ali was so good.
But were the crowds as good as they were at the spring game?
Oh, gee. Football?
Yeah.
Yeah. When they moved indoors because of 30-mile-an-hour winds and my 9-year-old grandson was playing baseball in those 30-mile-an-hour winds, yeah, that was. I still don't understand that because what you going to do when they got 30-mile-an-hour winds and rain and everything else?
Don't you love to get him fired up, Bobby?
I think they thought the weather was going to be worse than it was.
The baseball people didn't change anything.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that they couldn't not have thought that the weather was going to be worse than it was.
Tony and them played.
Well,
maybe they were listening to.
I mean,
a particular weatherman or two who got carried away.
Well, for what it's worth, they did move up the game because it was originally going to be at 4 o'clock, but then they moved it up 3 hours. Basically, the plan that was
which
everybody
game
was
are you talking about?
The Cajuns baseball game.
Oh, baseball.
Cajuns baseball got moved up to a 1 o'clock start. It was originally scheduled at 4.
Okay.
So they were also concerned about the weather as well later on in the later on in that day.
Okay. Softball moves so up too.
But what time? Softball had to wind up playing like all hours of the night.
But what time was the football game?
Football game was at noon.
At noon. So Tony can move his game to 1.
Yeah.
And play, but they got to move indoors. And what was the crowd? 100 or 200 people?
I couldn't tell you, but I think it probably was a little bit more than 200 people. But still, like, honestly, how much more would you have gotten for the spring game if it was a Cajun Field?
You didn't give yourself a chance because people like me, I'm not going in there knowing that. More than
200, Clint.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
But like I said, you're just thinking about the fact that maybe you'll be able to still get it in rather than deal with all the rain and not have to have one at all.
Yeah, and they barely just got it in, didn't they?
Yeah. Did we get any rain at all?
No.
No. Thankfully, everything kind of like was north of us.
Okay.
Lafayette.
I mean, couldn't they have, you know, with the 21st century.
It was like a half-court basketball
game. You opened the door, buddy. You opened the door.
It was like a half-court basketball game. They played from the 30 to the goal line.
Here's what I really liked about it. They had the audacity to release final stats.
Yeah. But I've never seen that in my life, a college spring game.
With all the modern devices known to man, couldn't they have followed this cold front? You know, from its movement over the Sabine River and say...
They just checked with Scott Pelley and he said, it's got to rain
real hard. Tony did. Glasgow did. I mean, you know.
We're out of here. I could tell because Clint's playing our goodbye music.
Yeah.
Five Guys, Stories and Lies.
They're
it's been fun.
Good to be back.
We'll be back next week for an hour, 6 to 7.
We don't get suspended again.
So for Bobby Ardwan, Tom Brown, Glenn Quibido, Bruce Brown will join us next week. I'm Don Allen. Thanks for being here. Have a great weekend.
And Don has his long-awaited mango tea.
And have
standing on a corner in Winslow, Arizona.
Live from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette. This is KLWB Karen Crow Lafayette. 103.7 The Game, a Delta Media station.